Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football, mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
127.
Woohoo!
How's it going, guys? Full compliment back today.
Yes, it's all good.
Tanya took some annual leave last week.
I did, yeah. I was suspended.
Crazy. Unauthorised annual leave, though.
Yeah, unauthorised.
So how, Abdi hasn't said anything. How are you, Abdi?
I want to fight everyone. Just before we started recording, everyone was kind of moving mad, didn't it? So I kind of want to fight.
Oh, people. I've missed the buttons and the sound effects.
I bet you are.
I'm sure you have. Tell the people why we were moving mad, though, with your boss.
I'm not going into it. Yeah,
said it's slippy, bro.
The bottle of water that's called Voss, it's difficult to hold compared to the other normal, like an Evian or a Highland. And then these lot want to start telling me I'm waffling.
What are you talking about?
I didn't want to get into it. You wanted to get into it, Mark. Yeah. So don't have a go at me now, innit?
Man called you out, Mark. He said it was you.
Man name dropped me.
Honestly, like I said before the podcast, the natural progression is we got to fight. That's it. Because you talk. If you want to talk tough, you better be tough, innit?
Yo, do you sit at home and just think of like things to antagonize?
No, I'm not fighting someone who says he struggles to hold a bottle of Voss.
You know exactly what I meant, innit?
It's not possible.
I don't think anyone knew.
Are you taking a piss out of my disability?
No,
I've got a broken
fake wrist strap.
You stop that.
Bro, you've had that for like a year now.
No, I haven't. Almost a year, but still.
For the listeners, he asked us not to tell you lot, but he actually wants to be referred to as Jamie Vardy from now on.
Because of my hand wrap.
Because your hand wrap.
Like I said, let's just fight. That's it. That's all we can do is fight.
Oh,
can you fight with that thing? Can you fight with that thing?
What do you want to see?
Bro, you can't fight with that.
Do you want to fight me? Tanya, do you want to fight me?
Huh?
Do you want to fight me?
Come on then.
Tanya would have you.
Yeah,
Tanya would actually have you.
Yeah, she would definitely
just
have
pull
you.
Pull your eyes out.
Right, bet money in it.
Alright.
Don't even think outside it.
Order.
Let's start with our spotlight game. Another podcast derby, Liverpool versus Spurs. It's gone very quiet in the room.
No, I was just looking. Yeah, listen, I think I said it a couple of weeks ago. This was the one game in our running that worried me.
Mm. It's so bizarre to me.
It's not. I just don't think it is. When you've got that Kane Son dynamic, which I was saying in the chat the other day, Conte knows how to set a team up. He really does. We saw that on Sunday. Yeah, it was the game I was worried about, and I've been proven correct. And I think credit to Spurs, first of all. I thought you guys were good. It was interesting, and I know we'll get on to Klopp comments and everything else afterwards. But even before he said that, I did think it was interesting the way you, not the way you set up, because that's how you set up every week, but the way you approached the game. But your comment back in the chat was fair about what do you expect coming to Anfield. Play an open and expansive game, we probably would have won.
Yep.
So I get it. I do get it. Yeah, I don't know what you guys think, as because I know we all watched the game, and I think Abdi was live, doing live live comms in the chat.
Like I do by myself all the time.
Oh my god! Here we go.
I was watching the game on my phone, so that's
no. But just before these two come in, though, I will say, I think Liverpool and Spurs. It's honestly one of my worst fixtures because I do always think the games are quite close, even though we don't typically beat you at Anfield. It's always like a 2-1.
Yeah.
Or Spurs, a lot of the time, look back at a game and think, oh, we were a bit unlucky there, or we could have scored in this game. But going into it, I had absolutely no confidence. I honestly was expecting 3-0 just because you've been in such good form.
Yeah, but you're a pessimist, though.
I am a pessimist, but also the stats say that we don't win at Anfield. I mean, they said, I think it was 2011 was the last time.
Yeah,
we
long
had Modric
time ago.
In the team. That's nuts. But, yeah, I was very impressed with how we played. Obviously, I do think a draw was a fair result, but I still think Liverpool were the better side, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the draw was the fair result. And like I said, I've said this so many times on the trot now, almost every week. I'm still pretty sure that I think City are going to win all of their games anyway. So in my eyes, that listen, we'll see what happens. The season will play out how it plays out. That could end up being a valuable point for us, or that could end up being a massive 2 points dropped. We'll find out at the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree with what's been said, but from my perspective, obviously, I was very much in the Liverpool camp for the one time.
Hypocrite! Have you been slating all?
Hey, but who do I slate more than Liverpool? It's Tottenham, isn't it?
So I don't expect
obviously,
anything less.
Obviously, I wanted Liverpool to win this game, and the way Liverpool started the game, it was very much dominant in control. So it was like the possession stats were, you know, mind-boggling as well. Liverpool, Tottenham very much were going to play on the counter-attack. But I was very disappointed with Liverpool in many aspects. Firstly, obviously you play this high line and it is a part of your game. And if it is going to be exploited, then it's a feature, you know, of the Liverpool game, because the reward of playing the high line is very high regard, and also it's a high risk as well. So you squeeze the pitch and then you end up dominating out on the flanks and in the penalty box as well. And also you've got athletic back four, so it means you can play the high line as well because you've got good recovery. But Tottenham are probably one of the best sides in the world when it comes to exploiting the high line. They've got guys who got good run, who are good off the ball and make time their runs quite well. And there's pace as well with the likes of, especially on the left side when they had Son and what's his name, Sessegnon. So from that aspect, I was like, Liverpool, okay, cool. Tottenham were getting through a bit too much for my liking. And then when Liverpool were chasing the game, it just turned into a bit of a chaotic style in terms of just put crosses in.
Yeah.
So and Trent went back to the worst elements of what people say when he does going forward in terms of just unprecedented amount of crosses. Just keep crossing and crossing. And then they were having a field day, the three of them.
Yeah, Davis and Romero were...
Look at the size of Eric Dier's head, bro.
It's like...
his head is drawn to the ball every time you just put in a cross. So
I want to have a conversation about Dier, but carry on.
So what I was annoyed about was Liverpool weren't... There was not enough variety. I thought Trent, he was cut... So what was happening is... Hendo was pulling out to the right. Trent was coming in field and putting in the crosses in. Trent, last year, a lot of what we saw Trent doing, he was going to the byline quite a lot. And there was a few cutbacks as well. It wasn't always just pump the crosses in. And I know you've had a lot of success with it. But especially against a deep block, yeah. And Tottenham, they're going to do that. Their three centre-backs did not move from the penalty box, especially when defending. So I thought maybe if you cut the guy, if he tries to overlap a little bit more, allow Salah to come in, and then... there was not enough shots from distance as well. So that you got the goal from shots.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And that wasn't the crosses. It was annoying me on the day. It wasn't any sort of tactical instruction. I think it was just the players on the pitch realised, actually, we need to go and get this goal. And it is quite annoying that we didn't stick to our usual guns of cross when the moment's right, if not recycle, come back down, overlap, etc. So in that sense, it was really annoying. But I think your analysis... summed it up pretty well.
I did also think you weren't getting enough men in the box as well. Like Mane was up isolated in the box against those three centre backs.
But that's more so credit to Spurs' setup. And it was very frustrating to play against. Really frustrating to play against.
I do think there were some performances from certain Spurs players I had not seen. Emerson,
I don't know where that came from.
I tell you who I feel Spurs' man of the match was. I think it was Ben Davies.
Yeah, Ben Davies got man of the match.
Yeah, did he get man of the match? Yeah.
Yeah,
I really thought he was.
He made a couple crazy blocks.
Yeah, he was insane that game. Yeah. Absolutely he made a
couple
insane.
Really from Salah. There was one on Salah cut in, yeah.
But I just briefly want, I know Eric Dier also played well, but is it crazy to now say, I think he should be picked in the England squad for me? When you look at players like Maguire and Mings, I think he's well ahead those two defenders.
Yeah, you can't compare it to two terrible centre backs. That's what I'm saying.
No, you can't. But I just think Southgate actually plays with a back three, and Dier's shown that he actually plays really well.
But I think in that system. I think in that case we need to be thinking of Guehi and Tomori ahead of Dier because they've had like how is Tomori not even getting a shout?
That's crazy.
I think they're better centre backs.
Yeah. No, but. Coming back to that, I don't think it's a bad shout. It's not something that we're going to sit here and outright dismiss.
The reason I say so is because he's played for England before and badly.
So he's not a lot of these players who are in the England squad.
Yeah, but he's played in a back three, back two for England.
I just think he deserves another chance, you know? No. But anyway, we're changing the subject.
But from Tottenham perspective, Son I thought was very good as well. Like he was.
Yeah, do you know what? He's mad. He's second highest goal scorer now. 20 goals for Son this season.
And none with a penalty.
Yeah, I just can't believe
mad.
That.
That is mad. Yeah. Non-penalty is sick. But
I would just say if I was a Spurs fan, I'd be a little bit disappointed
that we didn't win.
Considering how well you defended in that second half or throughout the whole game, I just feel like. It was just like at the end, like to concede a goal like that. I think it was going to take a goal like that for Liverpool to score.
You know what?
Who got the deflection?
It was, good question. I think, was it Benton called?
Oh, yeah.
He had a poor Benton.
I knew that already.
I know you had an agenda, but he was poor in that game. Yeah. I have to say, he was terrible.
Yeah, well, it's not a problem because the system obviously worked and you play the same system pretty much every week, no matter who you play against. But when you play two in midfield against a well-established three in midfield, quality we've got in midfield, Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson, it was.
Beast.
A lot of, particularly two-man midfield, you're going to struggle against that.
Yeah.
But on that deflected goal, though, a lot of Spurs fans are like, oh, it's just so unlucky. I'm like, in a way, it's not. Because I think when you invite that amount of pressure...
It was coming.
And like I've seen a lot of Tottenham fans saying, oh, well, we did... Listen, I get it. Obviously, your game plan is obviously to play on the counter-attack, defend. You're playing against one of the best teams in the world, yeah? But when a team is sitting back for most of the game and the other team has the ball all the time, because every time Liverpool lost the ball, they'd win it back straight away and they were sustaining pressure. So I don't see... There were certain Spurs fans who were saying, we deserve to win. You had the ball 15% of the time for the majority of the game.
I wouldn't say
they deserve
to win, but like when you're 1-0 up and... Let's like to be fair, like I can't remember like a Lloris save, like so I would.
He made a good save from Diaz in the first half.
I mean, in the second half when they took the lead, after that I don't remember like a Liverpool like going clean through and Lloris making a save.
That is what annoyed me the most is that we went 1-0 down and we almost forgot who we are and how we play football. Yeah. Abdi was saying the crosses, and it wasn't just Trent; it was. Robbo came off, then Simicast came on for the last half hour. It was crosses. And Klopp came out in his pre-Villa press conference this morning or yesterday morning, whenever it was. It would have been yesterday morning. And essentially said, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
That's not what we asked of the boys. Mm. So I'm not sure what it was, but you've been playing, you've got to think exactly that. The point I was just about to make. We've been playing every 3 days for about 3 months now.
Crazy.
And it's not stopping. And I just think going 1-0 down was a blow. Mm. Obviously, Diaz, who's unbelievable, just doesn't stop. Clawed it back for us. And
he
we
was
just
definitely
couldn't.
Your
we
best
just
player, I thought,
yeah. Yeah, he was easily our best player, and I think he's got to start both cup finals for us.
Yeah.
You saw what he did when he came on against Villarreal, didn't
it? Yeah.
So.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's unreal. But you're right, Mark.
No, go on.
No, I was going to say you're right. Though I think in terms of the top four, which in my opinion is done now. But we needed to win that game.
Yeah, that's
still be interesting.
That's the only reason. Well, we come on, unless we've got any more analysis, other than saying, honestly, I think a point
doesn't help anyone.
Doesn't help either of us. Literally, a point helped neither of us.
Because obviously, I wanted Liverpool to win, but it wasn't the end of the world because it was only 1 point. Tottenham only got 1 point more. So it would have been a 5 point gap rather than a four that we got. So
yeah.
I think for Liverpool, though, obviously, that's way more damaging because obviously it's the title. And City were reeling as well, especially after what happened midweek as well. Mm. So
I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know if it is more damaging because obviously we're running for a title, but in terms of
Arsenal have the capacity to drop points more than Liverpool do. You know.
No, so of course. We have to win our last three games of the season, and we'll see what happens. What will happen will happen. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I was, when Jurgen Klopp came out afterwards and said what he said, and he's apologised for a few things in his pre-game conference yesterday.
What did he say exactly?
I can't remember the exact quotes, but
he just said it was a personal problem for him.
But that's why I think. I think he actually meant it in a way to say, you needed to win. You needed to come to us and win. Yeah. And I just don't think you set up in a way that allowed you to win the game, or you didn't set up to say, let's go and win this game.
Yeah.
And I think that if I was a Spurs fan, and I understand you're used to coming to Anfield or the Etihad, even though you won there this season, you beat City twice this season. Yeah. So you're capable of beating any team in the league. And I just think because I'm not a Spurs fan. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a
I'm not a Spurs fan, but I would be in a game like that where really you needed to win your last four games of the season. I get the setup at least for the first 30 minutes, but then I just thought you'd be a bit more expansive.
You should have gone for it, yeah.
I just think there's that fear, though, of if we are too expansive, Liverpool are just going to absolutely annihilate
us. I get that.
But it's only 1 point less, you know?
No, I get that, but it's like maybe he was just thinking, let's just not lose. I think it would have been worse.
What value is a point rather than zero?
It's true.
Like,
a point is not
if you
better,
if you had beaten us and then beat Arsenal on Thursday this week, that top four is in your hands. Whereas now, if you beat Arsenal on Thursday, you're still hoping for them to drop points.
It's done now.
It's not done. No, it's I not done because your final two games are easier than Arsenal's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you beat us, then we've got Newcastle and Everton, so we can drop points better than you can against Burnley and Norwich. On the Klopp, if we go back to the Klopp comments. Firstly, I see both sides of the arguments. Obviously, Tanya, you are upset about what he said. Mark, you were defending it. From Klopp's perspective, everything Mark says is 100% right. Like Tottenham should have gone for it because they have their own needs. It's not middle of the season. It's not early in the season. It's four games to go. You should be going for it as well. And on top of that, it wasn't just that. It was that Tottenham were time-wasting towards the end as well. So obviously you were settling for the point as well. Like, I think you took out forward and brought on Davinson Sanchez. As well. So, but to counter that, Klopp, I don't think he was specifically moaning about it, but still, it isn't Conte's job to meet Klopp's happiness or what satisfies him when it comes to an approach to the game. But again, to counter that, it's like, why do people get so upset about what another manager's opinion, especially when they're emotional?
Well, I was going to say, to go even further, I think it's like, I don't even think it's a bad thing that Klopp said what he said, because at the end of the day, it's his opinion about, and he's just frustrated, as we all would be if we were managers of a football team. And we're vying for the title, and then we're hoping for like obviously he's hoping that Tottenham can play an open, expansive style of football. But the reality is, he probably knew what was coming. But he was just frustrated.
Exactly. It was just emotion after the game. Yeah. Again, I'm going to be balanced on both sides. Yeah. To go against Klopp, but the last two games that Liverpool played at Anfield against Villarreal and Everton, they're both deep blocks, and they managed to break him down.
That's the thing. So if it benefits him, that's
he managed. He didn't complain about that when they beat them, those two. So I think
to be honest, he's entitled to his opinion, and I think he did say it's a personal thing for him. So I acknowledge that. Yeah. It was just a little comment about, you know, they're still fifth. I just didn't like that.
That's the one thing he didn't. That's the one thing he apologised for. He says he stands by essentially what he said.
Yeah, and
I actually think a lot of what he says is misinterpreted massively, drastically. I actually think what he meant was, in a way that he just couldn't really get out, was that you're so much better than the way you set up and the way you play football. And that's essentially where I think he was going.
Yeah.
I think if you were playing Burnley away on that same weekend, I really think you would have set up the same.
Yeah.
So I think the point he's making is that there's too much quality in your squad to just play counter-attacking football no matter who the team is. See, I think you'd set up to play counter-attacking football against
Norwich.
That's
where you went wrong. There's too much quality in Kane and Son, that's it.
Yeah, we don't have the quality.
No, but when you compare it to other squads, you're going up. Like, if you're playing a Norwich, a Watford,
you still
set up. On the counter, and it's about kind of
that's Conte's style.
I know, but it's about Kane dropping deep, then Son making that late run, Kane playing the ball over the top, And I think he was kind of alluding to the fact that he feels like there's more in that squad of players.
It's a time wasting for me. I can't get, because
there, like, was a lot of time. There was time where, like, Højbjerg went down.
It's the difference of one point.
The ref said to him, obviously I can't lip read, but the ref basically said, look, if you're actually injured, you're going to have to go off the pitch. And he stood up. He just stood up and just said, all right, I'm not going off the pitch.
It's the difference of one point, you know? If Liverpool counter and score, how much did you miss out on by one point?
No, you're right. But what I will say, obviously, it's annoying that we didn't win because of the top four. But in the grand scheme of things, get a point at Anfield, I'm happy.
Of course. And we didn't actually mention it, by the way, the Højbjerg chance at the end.
Oh, God. Why did you mention it?
That was, I mean, listen, we wouldn't even be having this chat about the 1 point, 3 point thing.
Who put the ball in? Was that Winks?
If that had gone in. I'm not even sure. Yeah, to be fair to you, Tanya, your bench is atrocious.
Oh, it's terrible.
It is atrocious. I think your first sub was Sanchez on for Sessegnon, 70th min.
Yeah,
or something
Bergwijn
like that.
Bergwijn
came on in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, the last 3 minutes. And
Winks come on 85th or something.
Conte clapped back. Did you guys see what he said?
Yeah,
I read that today.
He said,
want to find an excuse or an alibi because your job was wrong.
I mean, he's just...
Count the amount of wins that Klopp has this season and Conte.
Anyway.
Of all the managers to go out and say, you're not doing your job properly, Klopp's not the one in it.
But why
took his team to a Champions League final again.
Why do you say that top four is out of Tottenham's reach?
Because I just think, and it's annoying me, that Spurs fans are still relying on Arsenal to lose. In my opinion, it would have happened by now.
But that is the case. You need Arsenal to lose.
I know, but I just think it's unlikely now that's going to happen, in my opinion.
Listen.
I just think they would have done it already. Everyone thought they would lose against Chelsea. They won. Man United, they won.
It's going to be...
West Ham, they won.
Before that, Leeds, we had three games that we should have won and we lost three. So.
No, I know, but I just
And you saw what Arsenal were like literally when we conceded the goal at the weekend. The jitters are there. No, the nervousness is there.
They didn't really... Yeah, we'll talk about it.
But it will be interesting to see how Spurs set up on...
You could have easily said we'll talk about that later.
You'd be interested to see how Spurs set up on Thursday, because you have to win.
I want to smoke them.
You have more, but it's not about a draw. Is not good for you. A draw is not good for you.
Yeah.
And we will see. It will be heavily reliant on counter attacking football, but you need to see more of the ball and you need to be more creative on the ball if you want those 3 points.
Though. I just feel like we can't play like that.
But you need to score the first goal first of all. You need to start quick first 20 minutes.
Yeah. If we match them up. We go three at the back, we allow Tottenham to have the ball. They can't do anything.
Yeah, that's
if
the
you
thing.
Play a stu- if we play
not.
A stupid game where, let's play a high line, it'll be 6 or 7 nil Tottenham. Because they have lethal finishes.
You're gonna stink the place out.
If we have to do it like we did against Chelsea, even though we were a bit more expansive, we had chances against Chelsea, but still.
We had loads of
go
chances
free,
against
go
Chelsea.
Go three at the back against Tottenham. Let them have the ball. They can't break it down. Yeah. We saw it against Brentford. Brighton. You play match up against them, three at the back against Tottenham.
And crowd out Harry Kane.
The thing with Spurs, though, is that
you
it
have
just...
Have one guy stick on Harry Kane, they're done.
Mm. Yeah. It just takes one moment of brilliance from Son or Kane.
Yeah, it's true.
That's where...
And Son loves to score against us.
About a million times in my
life. Listen, for me, them players, right, regardless of the top four being done or not, in my view... I do not want you lot getting Champions League qualification in our stadium. So for me, the boys.
I mean, we won the
up.
League in your stadium before, so
twice.
Exactly, but that's my point.
But Tanya didn't have to live through that, so this will be
she
more
she
personal.
She was alive in 2004.
Yeah, but come on, I was a little bubba.
She's like 6 years old, bro.
I was like 6 years
doesn't
old.
Doesn't matter. She was still alive.
But yeah, we can't lose that game.
So
we
what? Just run me through the scenario here. So Arsenal win, makes
we go
it
there,
7
win. Points. Yes. We go
that's
there, win.
Done.
Yeah,
that's done. Ooh, and if Spurs win, it's 1 point.
It's
gap.
1 point.
Yeah,
in favour of Arsenal.
If it's a draw, it's still 4 points. With
still, we've got
to go.
Harder. The thing is, it's difficult. The nerves are immense. Yeah. Like, Thursday, I think I'm going to be a mess. Because
already a mess.
If we go there and win, it'd be obviously we'd confirmed it on their ground. But if we go there and just a draw, still we've got the harder fixtures.
Yeah.
They've got Norwich and Burnley. We've got Newcastle.
No, I'm going to be honest. From an outsider's perspective, I think if it's a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
it's still
it.
4 points.
Yeah,
still
that's
like,
enough for you guys. I think.
I'm still looking at Chelsea because if Leeds pulls Titan out tomorrow,
that's
don't,
1 point.
Don't say that. Spurs, right? It's actually we have to win, and that's what worries me. When pressure's on Spurs, we don't perform.
But that's what I was saying about the. Yeah, we'll see how you set up because I feel like you had to win on Sunday.
Yeah, we did.
We'll find out at the end of the season. That point might be valuable. It might not though. You
I
might
think,
lose
yeah.
out by
I
2
know.
Points and think, you know what, we could have actually
in
won
my
that
honest
game
opinion,
at Anfield. You caught us on an off day and not many
know,
teams do not barely a single team has caught us on an off day this
damn
season.
Damn it, Højbjerg.
What for not finishing?
Yeah,
that, I thought you meant just because of his.
Now there was the other one as well when you know Emerson. He could have squared the ball.
Oh yeah, Emerson could have done that and then numerous times in the
blasted
game.
Blasted it to the back post, and then Sessegnon headed it back, and it hits on.
Do you know what? We've barely done actually any in game analysis, but I thought the composure from Harry Kane for the Spurs goal.
His touch as well. No,
clearly, listen, most strikers in the world, would and Harry Kane 2 years ago would have shot.
Yep.
But he's seen Sessegnon in space and Son also.
Well,
in space
he fumbled the bag anyway because this week he just watched someone get his dream moving.
It's true, though.
I said this week, today. It was about an hour ago. Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so Brentford played Southampton.
And what is up for Southampton, man?
Southampton, I don't know, you know.
I want those points back, man. How the hell are we losing?
We lost to them
Arsenal,
as well.
The Robin Hood of the Premier League.
Oh, I know, bruv.
Man, stop.
Giving from the table.
That might have saved them because they'd be in the relegation battle now.
Yeah, they would.
They did have a period where they were playing well, though. They did.
They did. I mean, they've got two games ahead of Everton and one game ahead of Burnley and Leeds, but they're 6 points out of...
They have hit that 40-point mark, the magical 40-point mark. I've got a quick question for you lot. Mm-hmm. And I know you were saying everyone who has nothing to play for to pack their bags and get on the beach.
Goodbye.
So look, there's a big chance that they are half on the beach, but their form in the past couple of months hasn't been good. Is Hasenhüttl in trouble?
Nah.
It's a good question because, although the team, the squad isn't massive, but like over the last 2 years, they've had some of the worst results ever seen in the Premier League. 9-0 twice.
Yeah.
And they frequently go on these runs of really bad results for a long time.
6-0 by Chelsea as well.
Yeah, 6-0 at home. Yeah.
And then they beat us 1-0.
And then, but then they do get like good results. Like they beat Liverpool last season. They beat Man City last season.
Beat
Arsenal. Exactly, yeah. And they got a point against Man City at home. So
Hasenhüttl
is a good manager. I think he's a good manager, but I feel like he's very set in his ways in terms of 4-4-2, same 11 every week as well.
To be honest, I think he does exactly what the Southampton board want him to do, which is keep them in the Premier League.
But Southampton have been like on the verge of Europe before. So
yeah, I know they've been on the verge of Europe, but I honestly think that...
Can't expect anything else.
Like, for them, the most important thing is staying in the Premier League.
I think they're established Premier League club now.
How many clubs have we seen established Prem club have one bad season and they're off? They're in the championship.
I hear that. It's true. But I think with its time there, I think he's been there 3.5 seasons now. There's always a period where they're like last year, when we did our half season awards, we gave him manager of the year
and then they fell off badly.
And it's happening again as well.
You know what? You've just mentioned what it's been 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. The only reason I ask that question is I know we're at the end of the season and teams will beat other teams and quite a few teams don't have much to play for. The good thing about this season is that there's still plenty of teams with lots to play for. Mm-hmm. But where's that progression then for Southampton? As in, it's been 3.5 years and you mentioned that, and which I don't agree with, when he took the job, the only rationale would have been to avoid relegation.
Oh, no. I never meant that. I just meant now, like, because obviously, like,
but they shouldn't even be in this battle now.
I know they shouldn't be in this battle.
And I don't think they are, but...
How much do they actually, like, spend?
Is that not much, but it's a very uninspiring end to the season. And I just think going into next season, they've got to start well. They have to start well.
Because honestly, like, I look at it this way, like, from when they sold Van Dijk, it's just been downgrades in terms of, like, the recruitment from then. Like selling Mane, who they replaced Mane with? Selling Van Dijk, who they... Bednarek and Vestergaard and, you know, Salisu, he's decent, but he's prone to a mistake. And then you sell Danny Ings, who scored 20 league goals, and then you bring in Armstrong, who scored 3.
Yeah, but he never plays Armstrong, though, so...
But still, he bought him.
Bought in Shea Adams as well, I think.
Yeah, he's good.
He came into Southampton to win the league, innit? But
shout out to Brentford as well, though. So
no, yeah, Brentford. I was just gonna say, me and Mark were talking about it on the way here. It's like,
I like their manager.
If you think about it, a few weeks ago we were all like, Brentford are on a downward spiral, and then Christian Eriksen came in, and we were like, what's that gonna be like? And he's got assists, and he's got them playing. And
I think they've collected at least 10 more points purely because of that home crowd. They've got a
perhaps.
it playing in that ground and the atmosphere they have as well is just literally.
They're level on points with Villa.
I think the Eriksen signing is key, and I think he's going to stay, isn't he, next season?
Yeah, I've been reading that as well.
Yeah, I think that's...
That'll be big for Brentford.
Massive.
I thought, like, Tottenham's getting on a free.
But you got
I
to think
personally don't want him.
This is... Conte didn't want him at Inter. Yeah.
Where's Conte going to play in DM?
And that's the thing, where's he going
to
play?
He didn't have to play for it at the back, because no one's forcing him.
But he will.
But that's where he finds his success.
Anyway.
Yeah, when have you ever seen Conte play for at the back?
He I'd did like when he first came in, yeah, and then he changed it after he lost.
Yeah, exactly.
3-0 to Arsenal.
Who else scored for Brentford? Oh, did you see that goal from Aya?
Oh, Aya.
Bruv. Aya, the centre back, yeah? He's better than.
Did you see it? He dragged the ball past two defenders and then put it through Fraser's legs. Fraser Forster.
Mark's like, no, I don't watch games that isn't including Liverpool.
Mad.
Burnley, who desperate to fight the drop, lost 3-1 to Aston Villa.
Danny Ings, you pagan.
Wow, what's he done?
He scored against his old team.
Oh, well, you're just banned from doing that now, yeah?
Hey, but if they're going to go down, then... Like, Gerrard, he should tell all these players to lie down. He should do that tonight. That's what he should. That's what you should do. Because if you're thinking about the greater goal, then yeah, that's what you do. But being so competitive, like, oh, well, I'm professional, I've got to do my job. But yeah, okay, cool. That's your old team going down now, isn't it? So...
I don't think he cares, bro.
Okay, cool. Maybe he hates Burnley, innit? So he's a great guy, I guess.
Anyway.
Danny Ings has been everywhere, though, man. If that was the case, he wouldn't score in the season.
Ever again. Since I said that, was it a mistake for Danny Ings to go to Aston Villa? He's scored three on the bounce.
He's like Michael Jordan meme, and I took that personally.
Yeah. So obviously Danny Ings listens to our podcast.
They're so topsy turvy, that Villa. They're very inconsistent. True. They've got Liverpool tonight, haven't
Coutinho
they?
Coutinho for 20 million.
Listen,
I think that's Euros as well, which is even better.
17 million pounds.
That's a great signing for Villa. It's a poor business from Barcelona signing him for 140 something million, and then now you're selling him for 28 million euros.
And this year as well, they also signed Ousmane Dembele for 136, and now he's going for a free. So
yeah,
wait, is he leaving for real?
Yeah, he's not renewing.
I didn't know they signed him for that much.
Yeah,
he was agent.
Dortmund.
Huh? He was agent.
No, I just know his agent.
Agent Abdi. Okay.
But what if I was his agent? What are you gonna do?
Then I just that's it.
What do you guys make? What do you guys think for Burnley? Like, they were on a good run. Obviously, the results kind of went their way in terms of Leeds lost.
Who have they got next?
Well, they've got us. I know that. They've got Spurs.
Well, that's it. They don't play midweek.
I don't think so. Oh no! Wait, I think they do.
Yeah, they must have another fixture.
I gotta be honest, though. I have to. I think Abdi might have called it. You know. I can really see Leeds going down.
No, they don't
now.
Play midweek. Leeds. This midweek.
Well, Leeds are in the bottom three now, which is true. Crazy.
Yeah, I said it last week. I was like, if Everton win, Leeds go in the bottom three, which is crazy because I didn't know the table before they lost last weekend. Yeah. I was just like, wow. I thought because they were picking up a few results, like they beat Wolves away, they beat someone else.
Yeah, they're having a bit of a resurgence.
And so
they beat Norwich as well.
So I thought, all right, cool, that's it. But it's crazy where he's like down there as well, and it's kind of annoying because I was really enjoying the meltdown from Everton, and now too. It seems like look, the Everton fixture as well. They've got Brentford at home, they've got Palace,
got Watford,
Palace
got Watford
is hard
as well.
Though.
Yeah, but still they've got Palace at home though.
Palace still hard.
Yeah, but they've been beating Chelsea at home, beat Man United at home. They've been beating they drew Leicester at home. They went and now
yeah, but they lost to Norwich at home.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I just hope they like. I'm conflicted because part of me wants to see the meltdown, but I want them safe before we play
them
on the last day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I just want everything resolved before they
play them on the last day. But if we beat Tottenham on Thursday, then I don't care about the last two fixtures.
Abdi's going on holiday.
So yeah, exactly. I'm going to Dubai. I'm not being last two podcasts.
No, but we could go above Chelsea if.
All right, bruv. All I want is Champions League football. Third and fourth is the same, isn't it? So
yeah, it don't matter.
But yeah, I think Burnley. That's. It's going to be difficult from now. I think they're going to have to pull out a result that no one really expects, like beating Tottenham. If they go away at Tottenham and beat them, because they beat them earlier in the season. If they do that, for example, then I feel like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully Ben Mee can fight.
We're at home. They don't beat us at home.
But they did have a massive blow. I think Tarkowski went off injured.
And Ben Mee is out as well, isn't it? So.
Yeah. So. What you saying? Oh, no. You play them next.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Anyway, I loved it. Yeah, Chelsea 2-0 up, 97th minute 2-2. What were your thoughts?
Can I just say, yeah, I watched the first half of this game.
As Abdi Chelsea likes to say, rest in. Go on.
Well, you didn't let Abdi say what he was going to say, innit? So you just cut in and said it.
Go on.
Rest in piss. But Chelsea are actually really, really hard to watch because they don't score. They're really a tough watch. In like, they make a lot of chances, but their inefficiency up front is very difficult to watch as well. Their forwards don't look like scoring really ever. To be honest, most of the time they're not clinical at all. Lukaku scored 2 goals and now he's joint top scorer with Havertz. And Lukaku's been on the bench for how long? So, and everyone's been like, oh, Havertz scoring loads of goals. No, he's only got 7 goals. So it's just like they fumbled a bag massively by, you know.
Tammy Go.
Yeah, exactly. Tammy Go, Giroud Go. Obviously, Giroud's probably not the guy they wanted long term, but still, that's 2 strikers who are more clinical than the ones they have right now. So,
yeah. And Tomori, they fumbled the bag with that because they could have kept Tomori.
And Guehi as well, Rudiger, they sold Guehi.
Azpilicueta and Christensen going, and now they're on the lookout for centre-backs. Yeah.
Now like they've got a bit of a difficult situation now as well. Obviously, they've got the new owner in, who, when I was watching it, I swear to God, I thought it was Mancini.
I get what you mean.
I was like, who's this guy? Why is Mancini? Is he watching Jorginho? I was like, Jorginho's not even on the pitch. But from Chelsea, they were... It was just complacency as well. And Wolves aren't that good of a side, to be honest. Like,
right now.
I don't know what's... I get he's had a long-term injury, but Pedro Neto, he looks like he's lost his mind when he gets into final third. He's always doing madness. But I felt that came out. I turned off at 2-0, and then I come back and I see it's 2-2. So that was delightful for what to watch. And now their home form as well has really cost them as well, because... Who knows? They might get sucked back into a top four race.
It's what I was talking about with a couple of people. I was like saying, like, maybe the fact that Stamford Bridge doesn't feel like a home ground because of the fact that they've got loads of empty seats and loads of away fans. So it becomes a bit of a neutral ground, and then they're going away and no fans can go, and it's just... I don't know.
Chelsea, all of a sudden, like you was mentioning all the centre-backs that they're going to lose, they're actually in a major crisis. Because even Aspi, he's old.
Yeah, he's off.
He's already agreed with Barcelona.
Off. Yeah, of course.
And Christensen and Rudiger. And Thiago Silva's 37.
Yeah, he's only got him from another year. You wasted 100 million on that lump up front.
Mendy's looking suspect now.
You've got that moron on the left, Werner. It's just more the only person who hasn't been an idiot all season is Mount. So it's just like everyone else, really. Yeah. Ziyech, whenever he comes on, I swear, he was doing what Trent was doing at the weekend. Like, he just crosses. That's it. He cuts in and
crosses. That's why he brings him on. Every time he brings Ziyech on, it's because they're chasing a game. And it's like, just get the ball in the box.
I told you, I don't understand what Pulisic is.
The thing is that, like...
He's probably that new owner's son. Who knows, bro?
I swear that owner's British.
Come and buy the... No, he's American, isn't he?
No, I think he owns an American... I think he's one... Owner. Oh, I could be wrong.
Yeah, he owns the Dodgers.
Oh.
Yeah, Lukaku is probably talking to him because, did you see, I got 2 goals, 2 right, 2 rebounds, 2 assists.
2 rebounds.
We'll get him in the fourth quarter.
Delicious
watching them.
It's not a big result for Wolves because they didn't really need anything.
I think that was a big result for Arsenal and Tottenham. But,
yeah.
No, yeah, American. Yeah. American.
I just wanted you to unnecessarily...
Waste a minute, yeah. Now he's in my Google
history. I think they're already something because... But I don't know.
We're only a point behind them. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They could finish fourth, from title challenging to finishing fourth.
Yeah, they're lucky. Arsenal and Tottenham are playing each other. Yeah. Because they look like they can't win another game in it. Because they're in.
Leeds got Leeds.
They got Leeds. Yeah, Leeds away.
Leeds are desperate for a point as well.
You know what?
For
Leeds
points.
Can get something. I've got to call it. They're gonna get something.
Then we've got Wednesday, FA Cup final this weekend.
Well, Leeds will take every more single out of player them. Either banned or suspended, injured or suspended. So
yeah, they won't win Leeds, that yeah, so cup final.
It's difficult for them. Okay, can we get on to the next game, please? Because this is what I came for the podcast for.
So Palace versus Watford.
No, it's not. It's about that, bro. Yeah. Well done, they
can
won.
We,
okay,
no, can we just talk about Roy Hodgson doing a lap of honour?
Wait, the disrespect.
Did you hear what he said about the Watford fans?
No.
Or why he didn't go over there?
Too far away.
Man,
no, he the guy
who was interviewing me was like, because the lap that he did for the Palace fans was like, he was lapping it all up, and he was like, so why didn't you go over to the Watford fans? He was like, oh, unfortunately, they were just a little bit too far away.
He's like, I'm 75 years old.
Do you know how rude that is?
God, that is rude.
He's like, to be fair, I only came here temporarily, innit? Like, it's a 6-month contract.
The Watford fans melting down, going, because of that still image of him laughing with like.
I think he's a bit mean. I do.
It's his old employer.
I still don't know what about his current employers.
Watford, I still don't know why.
I don't know why he took that job.
If he saved them, the Watford owners would have sacked him in pre-season. Because that's what they do. They're like, they've got a clock. They've got an alarm on their phone. We've got to sack someone now, innit? Regardless of how he's gonna be top of the league, bro. Oh, sorry, you gotta go, man. You looked at me funny.
But honestly, like a 75, you're angry at a 75-year-old man like laughing with his former.
But listen, like Mark said, he shouldn't have taken the job. And I said it before, just have a cup of tea and put your feet up.
Now, Watford.
He sort of said he's going to retire, anyway. So
he retired after Crystal Palace.
Yeah, exactly.
But then in his interview, when they're like, he's like, I'm definitely going to leave Watford this season, blah, blah, blah. Oh, so you confirm retirement. He goes, sort of. Just like, I'll just wait for the next job, innit? Amazing what he's saying, innit? So, but yeah, to be fair, like, Watford, Roy Hodgson's one of those managers where I feel like he's above the disrespect. He's above the disrespect, innit? I just feel like he's someone that I don't feel like they should have a go at because he's Roy, innit? You know, he's a nice guy.
I'm pretty sure there's evidence, plenty of evidence of you on here. Grilling him.
Well, yeah. I called him a digestive biscuit.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. Yeah,
I called him a digestive. Still, like, I like digestive biscuits.
That sentiment applies to everyone but you.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not disrespecting my calling digestive biscuit. I'm saying he looks. All right, so what?
To
he looks
fair,
like a crow.
Like
he's a good guy.
A soggy biscuit. To be
wow.
Fair.
Yeah. All right, okay, let's move on.
He looks like soggy bollocks.
So.
Yes.
Everyone, chill out.
So. I think Watford, along with Norwich, should have like at least a 5-10 year ban from the Premier League. Because I'm sick and tired of them coming
and
back.
And it's kind of unfair, you know, because they keep going down.
I know,
they keep
but
going,
I'm saying...
They keep going down, yeah? But they've got the parachute payments every 5 seconds, yeah? So that's why they can strengthen and go back up all the time. They get parachute payments every 5 months, bro. Oh, you're still getting the payments, your parachute payments. But still, like, that's what makes them, that's why they can strengthen their squad to the point where they've got a higher wage bill than any other team in the Championship.
So is that why Norwich do it as well?
That's what they do. Like they tip. It's what they do in NBA. I swear to God, they tank a season so they can get the number one draft pick. So Watford and Norwich are tanking the season in the Premier League so they can. And then that's the thing. Every other year, you will take it if you win a title every other year, wouldn't it? Or you get playoff success in it. So,
all right. Okay.
They're gonna have the most epic championship rivalry because they play each other. They have a title race every 2 years, isn't it?
All right. The moment we've all been waiting for.
Oh, delicious.
Delicious. Brighton had only won 3 games at home all season. Had only scored 12 goals.
That's
all
the lowest
season.
That's the lowest of any club in the top five of top five leagues.
Then
12 goals at home.
Then along come Ralph and them man.
I gotta say, yeah, Ralph.
He really
Ralph,
is Wreck-It Ralph.
Ralph is legitimately one of the worst managers we've ever seen in the Premier League.
I think he is.
He is. I swear to God, it's Ollie, but Ollie had some bratwurst. Ollie had some bratwurst, and that's it. He's just
Ollie finished second last year.
Exactly. At least Ollie could. At least Ollie said, "You don't go do your thing in it." Ralph, well, I don't know what he's doing in training. He's like, "Bro, I ain't got a clue, you lot, man. I don't know. Just listen to McTominay." He's like, I ain't got a clue. Like every single time I watch them, I don't know what style of play they're doing. I swear to God, for the last couple of weeks, it's only been Ronaldo and vibes, isn't it? If you thought like Bruno was a terrorist under Ole, then Bruno right now under Ralph is on an international watch list, 100%. It's just like he's something else. He's like, and then that.
I think
Man United, yeah, every single time I watch them now as well, it's just like to the point where I don't even feel bad anymore because now I'm upset that they have nothing to play for the season. So Man United fans didn't even really care about this week, this defeat. They expected it. They expect to go there and lose.
No,
losing 4-0 is a different thing.
No, I was about to say you feel aware about losing 4-0.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like,
and it could have been 5 if Gross had just shot.
Oh my! That chance at the end from Brighton, that would have been.
Oh, Dallow, and then Welbeck had a shot as well. Welbeck in the first half. Welbeck right, and it could have been 7 legitimately.
Legitimately.
And then people were saying that Cucurella was crying because he knows that's the goalkeeper they have to rely on in the World Cup.
I was getting so emotional.
Junior,
guys,
congratulations, player of the season.
Yes,
Junior.
Yeah, big him up. Yeah, well done.
How many? You're going to press all of them, yeah?
Guys, I have to tell you something, yeah. So I was watching the Brighton Man United game, yeah? My mum.
She did it, yeah?
She did it, yeah.
Hold on.
Hold up.
Nah, she did it. She goes, shut up. I didn't know you played for Brighton.
She listens to these podcasts, definitely.
Because Wow.
Quality goals, goes, look, quality if, finish.
Quality goals.
If you just look from behind, it's you. And yeah, I was like, okay, I've heard this all before.
I get this every week, man. I love it.
Yeah, I quality finish, yeah. Man.
Ralph was, yeah, no. But Ralph has been coming out and saying that essentially he's walked into this squad. None of them know how to follow any sort of tactical setup.
That is so rude.
He's just saying it how it is. And he's saying, like, I'm giving them specific instructions on the pitch, both individually and team-wise, and no one's following them. He's called it a mess. Just said this is a big mess.
He's basically saying they're a bunch of dummies.
Yeah, that's what you say. These are bozos, man.
Yeah, he is. He's saying that without kind of specifically saying it. He's basically saying, but still, what, like, have I walked into?
People are talking about how, like, Klopp and Tuchel are his sons. No, they're not his sons. Ralph Hasenhüttl is his son. Even though Hasenhüttl was Austrian and he's German, but still, like, you know.
Adopted, isn't
it? Ralph Jr., bro. They're
nah, the best bit was Ronaldo laughing after the fourth goal went in.
That's the first time he's not going to be involved in the Champions League. That's unless he fault, moves for 20 years, isn't it? He has to move if he wants to stay in the Champions League.
He needs the Conference League. I want to see it. Like,
he will not be playing in Conference.
Now, if West Ham win their final two games,
I think everyone needs to fully appreciate how much we've been blessed by this Man United banter era. Like, I'm especially now, like, when they become a serious team, yeah, eventually, because they will.
Bro, it's not a quick fix.
Exactly. But still, honestly,
it'd be interesting to see what they're like the next season, but I don't think they'll get.
We've been blessed that they've had, like, psychos like Mourinho and Van Gaal, but also they've had a vibes manager, and then now they've got this old has-been who's never had any record of success outside of the boardroom.
Ten Hag, who
exactly. So Ten Hag seems like a coach, like an actual coach who can be who can actually make them a serious team.
18 months, yeah, gonna last.
So yeah, whenever Man United become a serious team again, I think we've got to look back on this period and just be.
Why are you bringing us down, man?
I'm just saying, appreciate what we're in now, isn't it?
Yeah, but don't have to bring up what could happen
in the future. We're not gonna see 4-0s to Brighton all the time.
We're gonna see 6, man. Come on.
Hopefully,
you know what they're gonna do? They're gonna make a statement signing next season.
Well, they did. They finished second. They made Ronaldo, Varane, and Sancho.
Varane, Sancho, and Ronaldo.
Yeah, Varane. Why is everyone talking about him?
Conference League Varane.
He has been awful.
He's been.
Gross just walked straight past him. Gross, by the way, scored 3 goals in the 3 wins they've had against Man United at home.
So. Whack, yeah, I can't believe we lost twice.
I'm enjoying it. I love it. But shout out to Brighton. That was a fantastic performance from them.
People saying that the Spain's number one should have been Sanchez instead of.
Yeah, Sanchez is equally shit though.
No, Sanchez is terrible.
All right, bring
Spain Brighton. Don't have any good goalkeepers. Literally, you look across the board.
They should play. They've got Rulli.
Don't even talking about Rulli, bro.
But wait, let me ask a question. So, who do you think lasts at Man United in terms of players?
Maguire.
Junior. Wow. No, it tells him who's going to say.
No, Sancho. Maguire
was looking at that game thinking, do you think the ball would have gone through my legs like that for the goal?
I saw Man United fans going, see, Maguire's not the problem, it's Lindelof.
No, Maguire's always the problem. Maguire's bad vibe from the bench. That's why that music gives it.
I can only see, they should build a team around Sancho.
The only defender I'd keep is Varane because he has a track record. But even then, he's looking funny, isn't it? All of the other defenders are terrible or injury prone. The midfield is a horrendous mess right now. Like, who would you keep from the midfield? The only one you keep is the one who wants
to
leave.
Saying, who do you and
that's
Pogba.
That's the only one I would keep.
Yeah,
you got Fred McTominay, Bruno Matic, Mata, Lingard. How many? Man, all of that. Bare of them are.
If Pogba goes to City and dunks. No, on
apparently,
Man United.
Apparently that's been ruled out now.
No, we're talking.
So I don't think he's staying in the Prem. But that's all just hearsay.
The audacity. So many United fans were like, "Oh, that would be disrespectful. How dare you? You scared? How dare you say that?
You've not been booing him."
Exactly. Like, this guy's been—he's been a virus apparently for the last 6 years, and now you want to say he's disrespectful. If I was Pogba, I would go there, and I would do the dance he was doing on Old Trafford pitch when I come back. Beginning of the game, end of the game, regardless of the result.
If I'm Arsenal, if I'm Arteta, I'm having a word with Pogba.
Arteta, considering how much of a dictator he is, he never want Pogba.
Nah, no, but I'm just saying, like,
he will fight with him eventually. You know, so. Okay. I just feel like, yeah, but Man United, I think really, who's going to stay? The new signings, really, the ones who are quite recent in terms of, so, like, Sancho, Varane.
Well, I don't know. Who knows? Because even today, I saw they're apparently looking to offload Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Oh yeah, to Palace. He might be going back to Palace.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're going to have to take a hit now. No one's going to buy Maguire and Wan-Bissaka for that kind of money anymore, innit? So
their squad's a mess.
I mean, I don't think anyone else on the planet would have paid the money.
85 mil for Maguire in it, but.
But you are right. I think it's only temporary because you just know they've got the money to fix it. Even though they've spent loads of money.
They've spent the second most in the league in probably the last decade.
Nah, which is why I love
big up Brighton.
Money isn't always the answer. Coaching. That's why Pep spends a lot of money, but coach as well. And we'll see. Ten Hag might do the same.
And Potter, he's going to be a coach at a top club very soon. I don't know who.
Hopefully not Spurs.
If Conte doesn't work out, it is looking like Spurs will be that next step for him.
Hopefully Conte next season, Tottenham.
Come on.
What, you want him to stay at Tottenham? No. I want Conte to lose his mind and leave. Because I feel, but to be fair, like Tottenham are guaranteed at least Europa League, so it's not one game a week, Conte.
Yeah,
it's going to be with Europe, and we saw it was like with Europe with Chelsea. You know, he took them from first to fifth, so we hope that can continue to happen.
And then once Potter's gone, then I don't care. Conte can leave. That's it.
See what happens.
I just don't want Potter to go to Spurs. Anyway, on to Sunday. Arsenal played Leeds at the Emirates, sunny Emirates. It was a good first half.
Very good first half. Great start as well.
Yes.
Great start. Nketiah, he got his reward for what he does, isn't he? He's a really good presser from the front. He's got a few goals for Arsenal like that way. Go on.
Can I just say, though, does it not frustrate you that didn't Arteta
play Nketiah in the
first place?
He started five games, scored four goals.
He started. His movement is just so
four goals in five games.
Four goals in five games, and he should have got more as well. Like he should have got a hat trick at the weekend.
And he hit the bar against Palace,
like Brighton as well. And he's really good against West Ham last week. Should have scored a couple as well. It's just like I said, it's just the difference of having movement up top as opposed to Lizzo. So, and you see what Lacazette is on when he comes on as well. Arteta is literally coming on for like, here, have some minutes.
I saw a compilation of Lacazette against Brighton, and I was like, oh my god, we actually had to sit through that.
And we had to do that for months as well. But he got his reward for the goal. I don't know what Melier was doing. Like, you're in a relegation battle. It's the first couple minutes,
Just
boot it along, bro. I don't know what he's doing. He's got that in him. People say he's a really talented young goalkeeper, but I don't know what he was doing. And it's Nketiah as well. He's typically a very good presser. And then the second goal as well, like Martinelli did fantastic. Martinelli was great in the game as well. Another good game from him as well.
He was desperate to
a
score.
Good finish from Nketiah. That's a proper no look finish, isn't it? Firmino, notes, isn't it? But I felt like we were a bit sloppy as well. Like we were good in the first half. Some of the football was really good, and we should have scored more. But I don't know if the word sloppy. But what's the word that you use where people aren't taking it seriously? Not taking it seriously, but complacent. That's the word exactly. Yeah. I felt we were very complacent. There were times as well. I think
that's more in the second half though, because in the first half they had zero. Shots on
they
goal.
didn't have a shot until they scored.
And
Ayling, so
what an idiot!
That was.
And to be honest, if that didn't get red card, I would have been like, "What is a red card at this point?"
I honestly believe that when we went in 2-0 up, they were down to 10 men. I honestly believe that a lot of them were already switching to Thursday.
They were just done.
I think they were like, you know what is? But you can't do that in the Premier League.
We could have done, and then that's what you see. Like literally, that's the weakness in this team. In the fact that we concede a goal. And then immediately the nerves come in. But Leeds, they didn't really pose a threat even after they scored.
That's what I mean.
Like, in the heat of the game, I was stressed because, you know, one goal and then we've dropped points from a position where we should never have done that.
Yeah.
We had opportunities really if we were more clinical in the second half. Even in the first half as well.
And
Nketiah should have had a first half hat trick. Xhaka missed the ball just went away from him. Martinelli had a clear chance, should have scored. Odegaard should. But the moment that really drove me mad was Pepe with the open goal. Decides to cut back and then is Daniel James chasing back in it.
No, this guy's gone, man. He has to go.
Okay, cool. I'll put the Pepe thing to aside for a second. But I swear to God, I don't know how much more I can take of Cedric.
I actually might
lose my mind. I actually might go into an insane asylum because I can't take it anymore. This guy is a complete horror show. He has no business being at any team that is any good. Like, he should be the best player at a terrible team. He shouldn't be at any team that has any ambitions to go forward. He's the worst. He's sticking out like a sore thumb. Like, if it isn't...
Thrum.
He gets me so angry. Like, if he isn't, like, hesitating on the ball or giving the ball away in a stupid area, he's crossing to no one. Like, if you thought what Trent was doing was mad at the weekend, but Trent has a track record of actually getting some assists. I don't think Cedric's ever got an assist from across in his life. The guy is just a chaotic player. You look at Tomiyasu playing at left back.
Yeah, he done really
looking like 15 times the player he is.
Listen, all I know is that for me, play poorly, win is very satiating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, at this point,
jeez. All right,
did you guys talk about that?
Yeah, well,
losers are pointing at Mark like, oh, look, my word of the day. Flipping loser. But from, yeah, like I said, like we said last week, yeah, at this point in the season, I don't care. Get the points. That's
all
I care.
Yeah, that's what points on the board.
If we play terrible for, like Real Madrid played terrible for about 160 minutes of the tie and then got through based on 20 minutes of good football, bro, that's what I want us to do as well. Like, you, if you play terribly for 85 minutes, and you win it in the last five, then I don't mind. You know, at this point of the season, just get through to the end of the season.
It's the sign of an improving team.
Yeah.
Win when you're not playing well.
I thought, even earlier days under Arteta or even under Emery or under Wenger, we definitely had the propensity to probably lose that game initially, didn't it? So,
like, I can think of games like against Palace, at home, Mustafi and Co.
Yeah, we don't have those bozos out there anymore. And I thought Gabriel did a really good defensive intervention right at the end as well.
Yeah.
But did you see when they sent Melier up for literally they had a set piece at the end, and I was laughing because I could read what's his name, Jesse Marsh's mouth, and he was like, Ilan, get up there, man. Ilan, go, come on.
Who?
Ilan Melier. He's calling him Ilan. He's probably from the East Coast, isn't it? So
love,
but the one they scored is like, come on, get in there. but shout out to Arteta for at least getting the points now. Four wins in a row now.
What do you think about the new contract?
I would definitely wait until the end of the season, like Junior said. Yeah. But I think it was always going to come in, regardless if we finish top four or not.
I think he had already signed it. Like,
but they just gave it to him now. When
he said they offered it to him after the third loss in a row.
That's a bit braggadocious, you know, come out and say.
Shouldn't have said that. Everyone be like looking at the. Because obviously I came here after.
How do we remember?
I was ready to fight him. I looked at Mark and I saw Arteta's face. Hence why I boxed him in his mouth, innit? So,
that part was his dream.
That was always going to come. I felt like they just did it now when there was a lot of positivity after those three wins in a row. So, but yeah, we'll see. Oh, please God, just beat Tottenham. If we beat Tottenham, I can relax because I'm so stressed. Like, why am I stressed? Like three days out before a game. I'm just like it's
too, bro.
Too much. I was stressed earlier this week.
I'd much rather be in Arsenal's position right now than.
So,
of course you would.
We have some questions.
You have nothing to worry about.
Let's talk about the questions real quick. We've actually spoken about some, haven't spoken about some, so we'll just quickly. If Arteta finishes third, Premier League Manager of the Year? Question mark.
No.
I think.
We're just like, no.
No, actually. No. I think you should either give it to a manager who's overachieved madly, because you know it's not too far fetched for Arsenal finishing top four. But also,
I think there is an overachievement.
I'm talking about a lower manager who's done well, or you give it to the manager who won the title. For example,
I know you keep saying, "Oh, I spent 150 million, you have to," but finishing eighth, and let's say if everything goes our way and you finish third.
We've had no European football there.
Okay, that's fair, but I still think it's an overachievement. I would have never predicted Arsenal in the top four. As when we look back at our predictions.
Would you back yourself to finish third next season with midweek games?
It depends. Yeah, but
we're
going to
have Mbappe next year, so.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that one.
Arteta saw where Man City just buying Haaland, so he thought we had to respond. So everyone thinks Mbappe is going to Real Madrid, but the reason that's been held up is because, you know, he's looking for a house in North London. So all I'm saying here is I'm usually in favour. What did you say? Barnet.
You got Barnet.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, even though none of the players live there, so they usually live in Hertfordshire. But I think I usually give it the manager of the year to the manager with
Mark
the title.
Mark never said anything. You never responded.
I think it'd be fair to have him up there in that conversation. Nominated. I wouldn't give it to him.
I thought you were responding to my Mbappe shot.
Oh,
I did.
Okay.
Well, yeah, nominated definitely, because I agree with Junior. I think, let's be real, no one expected Arsenal in any top four conversation. Yeah.
But he has had a week to prepare for every game.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that is massively in his favour. So we'll see. And again, like, that's not me even putting a downer on the achievement. I think if you finish third, and I sent round all of our top four predictions from the first day of this season, and none of us had Arsenal in.
Nope.
None of us had Spurs in either.
Nope.
So it would be an overachievement for sure.
Well, let's get there first, innit?
Exactly.
I'm just going to go through a few of these. I believe your mate has
said something. So the realistic possibility of Liverpool only winning the Carabao Cup and piss Mark off.
I think Real Madrid's heritage luck is running out now. So I think Liverpool win the Champions League as well.
Listen, until we've won one more time, please.
Whew.
Until we've actually won the other cups, it's a possibility.
It's fair.
So it's all possible.
That was a very diplomatic. I know Mark's going to message him after, you dickhead.
Yeah, you can tell he's fuming.
It'll be a disappointment from this point on. But if Liverpool look at it from the wide scale, from the fact that they're playing every single possible game this season, yeah, it's a historic season as
yeah.
it is.
First, yeah, you're right.
If you get
positive thing he's ever said.
Mate, it's difficult because do you know how uncomfortable it was supporting Liverpool this weekend? Right now, I've gone back to hating them. So, I mean...
No, I actually respect the fact you went neutral there because it is an achievement. We didn't need that, guys.
Do you want a hug?
Wait, wrong one.
All right, everyone chill up.
There we go.
I think
we can break a finger if you want.
Yeah, come on. Is that in your name now?
Yeah. Now we've got it recorded as well.
Delete all of that.
Allegedly. I said it for at least 5 or 6 weeks now, I've said, look, I still think City are going to win every game left in the league. So, in my personal view, the quadruple was...
It was more hope than expectation.
More hope, thank you. Actually, that's the perfect way of putting it. More hope than expectation. But the sheer reality is we've come closer than any team in history to doing it.
It's true.
I know we've got to win the FA Cup and the Champions League. And we could lose them
still,
both.
The title still isn't.
And the title. Listen, City have got to go away to Wolves on Thursday night. Then they've got to go away to West Ham.
They don't do well against
Wolves. West Ham need to win. If West Ham win their last two games, they're guaranteed Europa League football, no matter what United do with their last game. So there could be a twist or two in the title race, but we'll see.
It's only over until it's mathematically.
But whilst saying that, I do acknowledge that we could actually finish this season with just the Carabao Cup. So we'll see what happens.
You did say about domestic trophies in that, so that would be one of them.
Is it a disappointment?
I don't think we will, by the way. I think we will win.
How do you feel? How do you feel if you only finish with the Carabao Cup?
I'd be disappointed, but they have given me a season this season that I've never experienced before.
Okay, what about the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup?
I'd still be disappointed, but it's still two trophies on the board.
The Champions League is really what will make you satisfied.
The Champions League would mean this season is a success.
Yeah.
FA Cup or not.
I still think getting to the Champions League final is like... I rate getting to the Champions League final over like winning the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup.
It is, but listen, history, you only remember the winners.
Yeah, fair.
Yep.
All right. Last question before we go back to rounding up the Premier League. If Arsenal get into the Champions League, who must they sign for next season? Who must leave? So just quickly, three players in, three players out, and then we can move on.
I think Bissouma would be a good signing for you lot.
I'm still worried about that case.
Yes, the bus case, yeah.
If I hear more about that case.
No, apparently it's been pushed back.
Pretend that case isn't.
Oh, then
of course,
this
man, I'm having tomorrow.
I think
because who have been bloody linked with this week? My head is so
we're
hot.
We linked
with
him as well, though.
No, but apparently he's like almost. My head is so. I don't even want to say it, bro. The possibility of teaching was joining my team, bro.
If he signs,
I want you
big him up.
No,
you will.
Because I can't.
Have you seen the way he talks
about
Cedric?
There was so much emotion in that. No.
When I saw it this week, and they're like, he's number one target. I was like, crying out loud.
No, listen, but has it not got to a point now where
it's just speculation?
You kind of do you trust the judgment of players now at Arsenal, or is it still?
I mean, he's still signed Nuno Tavares.
All right, this isn't a quick discussion. I answered your question. I said Bissouma.
Well, you said three in, three out, and you said one in.
Oh, okay.
Right, well, I answered.
I answered.
And so
Bissouma, I think Ivan Tony.
Okay.
We need a left back, I think, and Cucurella.
Okay. Wow. So we're just raiding Brighton.
This is just Premier League.
And out.
Elneny, he needs to be offloaded.
He's already signed the contract, apparently. So.
No way.
Well, As a backup,
there's no one I'd want more. Like, as a guy, reliable.
Okay, no one.
I mean, I know.
He deserves it.
No. Let her finish. Elneny.
As a squad player, Elneny, you need to be doing better. Right?
A squad player, he's better than every starting midfielder at Tottenham.
He's been amazing since he's come in. Like
in recent games,
he's not going to play much.
But he's not at the level, Champions League level, which is where you.
He's played
get
in
back
Champions
to.
League for us before.
But also, he could play Carabao Cup, FA Cup.
We won it. Don't remember.
Look at this guy.
He did score a banger.
Right, so he
scored a banger.
Elneny, Lacazette.
Oh, thank God.
Well, Lacazette's going anyway. So.
And to be fair, the third player.
Well, the three players I'm getting rid of is obvious. Cedric, Pepe, and Lacazette. If I see them again in this club, I'm going to lose my mind.
Cedric, so Pepe, Lacazette.
But you have to be realistic with who's going to go.
Mbappe, Pele, and Maradona.
Mbappe. LA and Maradona.
Yeah. No. If dream signings, yeah, I'd get a strong, obviously, no Case Bissouma at Beverly. I'd get a backup left back. There's a one from Bologna who's clips look all right. And 100% I'd get a couple forwards as well.
No, but I said one.
Oh, one forward.
No, I said three players.
Oh, three. Okay, cool. So forget about the backup left back. I'll get Caseless Bissouma, I'd get Nkunku. And I'd get Gabriel Jesus.
Hey.
Nkunku is a good shot.
Mark
is a great shot.
Just from the outsider's perspective.
Outsider's perspective, I'd go with Abdi for the free to get rid.
Amen.
Literally can't argue with that.
Amen.
Honestly and seriously, I'd be looking at Tammy.
Yeah, Tammy's another one. Yeah, 100%.
I'm being dead serious.
Look at me, Tammy and Gabriel Jesus, man.
Yeah, mad.
We've come a long way.
Tambourine and Chicharito.
Tambourine, yeah.
Tambourine.
I'd be looking at Tammy, 100% a backup left back. You can't rely on Tierney to stay fit.
Yeah. Or Tavares.
Or just Tavares in the general sense.
We need a backup right back because...
Yeah.
We need a lot, man.
We need more than three, is what I'm saying.
I know, but I just wanted.
We need a couple more midfielders as well.
Okay. Yeah. This turned into an hour. All right.
But yeah, bro, watch if we have a midfield three, Partey, Tielemans, and Odegaard, and watching them run backwards, it's gonna be long, bro.
No, Tielemans.
So yeah, let's move on because we haven't got much time.
Leicester played Everton. Everton desperate for 3 points.
Yeah. Leicester are actually not safe.
Yeah, why? What? They're 14.
Mathematically, they're not safe. Yeah.
They've lost 14 times.
Points. If we're saying Southampton,
mathematically, they're not safe. Mathematically, they're not safe, and they shouldn't be in this position.
They must be.
They're not. No. Leeds are on 35 points, and Leeds got 3 games to go.
They're on 34 points actually.
Well, they got 4 games to go. 3 games to go. Add 9 points to 34. What's that?
Bro, I don't care.
43. Yeah, and that's more than 42. So mathematically, Leicester are not safe. What? Why are you upset that I'm using logic against you?
Also, Leicester have 2 games in hand.
It doesn't matter. They could lose all those games.
On Leicester, I think...
You will lose.
I want to say on Leicester, what Mark was saying about Hasenhüttl. For me, Rodgers next season, they need to drastically improve because he's in trouble. For 14th place.
They've lost 14 times this season.
I know they've had injuries this season, but that's 14th place. I'm sorry. That's
and then obviously, we were talking about earlier today, but the shouts where people were saying they're getting top four, top five, all this stuff as well, especially after fifth place.
Why are you looking at me? I didn't say that.
Well, you support half the team in the Premier League, man. You said on this microphone, Everton Aston Villa Tyrus.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You said Everton Aston Villa Champions League final.
Move on, please. This
you
guy,
were like Benitez. Benitez versus Gerrard, it's written in the stars.
No, it was Dean Smith at that time.
Even though it doesn't make sense.
Can you imagine? Everton versus Aston Villa in the
lowest viewing figures ever.
Just one. Yeah. One person.
Because all of the Everton fans, all of the Aston Villa fans are in the ground.
That is so disrespectful to the Everton and Aston Villa fans.
No, we love you all, except we don't. What a goal from Mikalenko, though.
Yeah.
Right, it just went silent.
I don't remember. Oh, the volley, yeah.
Oh, my.
Let's move on, bro. You don't care.
No, it was.
That was massive for Everton. Yeah. Let's be honest.
And huge.
Their away form has not been great. So even that, I mean, Leicester. I can't remember what their game was in between the two Roma games, but they essentially chucked that game. So you thought they would have come back firing against Everton after being knocked out of the
Tottenham,
Conference League.
They lost Tottenham.
Tottenham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they went weak against Spurs. Yeah, I don't know. I think, Tanji, you raise a point about Leicester and their season's just fizzling out and it almost seems like their era, quote unquote, you know, they won the league, the FA Cup. People were saying they were part of the Big Six just 2 years
ago.
That's true.
They could have won the Conference League, they went out in the semis.
They went out of the group stage of the Europa League.
Okay, but there was still
a good set horrible, of players. Yeah. Or are those players maybe overrated? I don't know.
I know one player is overrated.
Oh, here we go. Tielemans, yeah. Okay, Jamie Vardy's, you know, he's...
Yeah, he's getting on, isn't he?
And...
They've got Dakar, they've got Ian Acho, they've got... Well, I was going
to
say...
They shouldn't be losing to Everton, regardless of this point in the season.
All right, okay. But massive for Everton. Norwich, already relegated, played West Ham. We got a question hear about West Ham.
Oh, and Declan got player of the...
Are you on first name basis with him?
Huh? Do you know what? I've got a thing for Declan Rice, you know. I'm not going to lie.
No, what?
I've got a thing for him.
He's not usually a
pack this equipment up. pack everything up.
Take your thing for him elsewhere.
Some people would like... love Declan Rice.
Well, okay, anyway, back to the question.
Of the year or something.
Where do West Ham go from here? Have they peaked?
In the gutter.
Have they peaked? What is the future, especially if they lose Declan Rice?
Can I just say, Abdi, I know we had a healthy debate last week about whether West Ham should have rested players in that league game or not. And honestly, if they had won that league game where they rested players, they'd be in the Europa League spot right now. They could lose to City as well and still be in that Europa League spot.
But the point is, they didn't rest players for that game. That's what I was arguing about, because they're playing Arsenal.
Coming out.
They rested a couple. Sorry. They rested Antonio.
No, just Antonio. Suchek. Well, okay, cool. But then they, the point I was making is that in the first leg against Eintracht Frankfurt, and Rice played all of the game, Bowen played all of the game, Fornals played all of the game, and Zuma, who just came back from injury. Then they went and played all four of those against, and they're four key players because they don't have any other centre backs. Fornals plays every game, and Rice is their best player. Bowen's been their best player this season. So they played all of those for 90 minutes against Arsenal and still lost. Yeah. Then they go to Eintracht Frankfurt. I know they got an early red card against them, yeah? But for the last 30 minutes, none of their players can move because they're all knackered, innit? Let me just quickly say, I'll just tell you a quick story, yeah? One time I was walking down the street with my sister, yeah? And then we saw, do you know one of those vinyl records, the big circle, you know what I'm talking about, yeah?
Yes, we know
one of those on the floor, yeah? Well, go with me and you'll see in it. All right. So it was on the floor and it was just a broken one on the floor. And then for no reason at all, my sister swung her leg, tried to kick it, missed it, stepped on it, it skidded and she fell and hit her knee on the ground, yeah? And nearly broke her leg, yeah? She was upset at me for not helping her up, but I was like, no, you deserve that. If you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And the reason I bring that up, yeah, is because Moyes, he's in the same aspect, same concept of what happened with my sister. He played a stupid game in the fact that he decided to go for it against Arsenal. You want to go into the Europa League, yeah? You want to go into the Champions League by winning the Europa League, yeah? If West Ham had... Who knows? If they rested the game, rested players against, if West Ham have rested players against Arsenal and they have the capability of going away to Eintracht and winning, because they went away to flipping Sevilla, got a draw, beat Sevilla at home, went away to Lyon, and won.
Cool. But did you watch that game
against the first leg,
the second leg away?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, a bit.
Listen, Frankfurt had their number. The only reason I mentioned that you should have gone, I agree with the team he selected against Arsenal, is that you can't, listen, they've had a good season in the Europa League, but you can't forget they've had a great season in the Prem as well. And you can't let that work all be undone by resting half your team against Arsenal.
But it's
listen,
priority, they man. Could.
The league should be a priority. Qualifying for the Europa League for West Ham is a priority. As much as winning it. They need to establish
if
themselves.
If they go into a final against Rangers, they're the favourites, yes or no?
Against who?
Rangers. Against Rangers. If they went to the final with Rangers, they're the favourite.
Probably, but not necessarily.
They're the better team. Who's the better team, Rangers or West Ham?
I depend.
Are we all lying to ourselves just because Rangers got a great atmosphere?
I would argue Rangers.
No, listen, West Ham are the better team. How many games?
If West Ham were in the Scottish League, would they not win it by 100 points?
I don't care.
100 points to the second team.
I don't like West Ham. So
they would have a 100 points winning gap, yeah? So don't act like West Ham wouldn't go there and win the Scottish
League. West Ham, isn't it?
Rangers.
And plus, it's a final.
Mm. All right, we'll see your mentality next season. Do you want to see Arsenal chuck in league games?
No, because West Ham don't even have a bigger squad. They don't have a big enough squad to do that. At this point of the season,
the drop in quality is too much. They've got a lot. Yes, I agree with you.
You've got to prioritise at some point. You've got to sacrifice. Like, for example, your game against Newcastle. That's a big game because you need to stay in it. But still, Klopp thought, we've got a second leg in the Champions League.
Yeah? I know, but we can rotate.
Still, I think they should have sacrificed this game against Arsenal because the benefits of going back into Europa League is less than the benefits of going into the Champions League.
Can I draw it back?
No, you can't draw it back.
No, but resting players against Arsenal doesn't mean just, all right, cool. But then we're going to go and win the second leg now.
Still, no, but you would have a better chance though. And they lost anyway, so you didn't rest any players. You lost, and then you went and lost in the second leg as well. So I'm Somali, yeah? We have a saying in Somali, the word is Matsonkar. And literally, the literal definition is kind of weird because Matt is kiss and Sonko is sugar. So sugar kiss. But my mum used to say it to me when I used to do something stupid and get negative repercussions. So for example, if I jumped out of a tree and hurt myself, my mum used to go, Matt Sonko. It's kind of like delightful. So so David Moyes, Matt Sonko.
I love that.
Okay, no one answered the question.
Or was the question?
What was the question? Sorry, Gina.
Where do West Ham go from here? Have they peaked?
In the gutter.
Yeah, but you're very biased.
No, to answer that, have they peaked? No, but they need to strengthen. Yeah. We've just had this whole debate about resting players and stuff. It's clear to see that the quality of players they bring in outside of 13 or 14 players isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. So they need to strengthen.
And he hasn't rotated.
They've got money, They've got money. I think they will strengthen, to be fair. But if they lose Rice, going to be massive for them.
But to be fair, like, apart from where can Rice go, like, realistically?
Chelsea.
I know he can, considering how much he's. I'm not saying obviously he can play for a lot of teams, innit? But I'm just saying, considering how much West Ham will ask for him.
Yeah.
Who's really willing to spend that kind of $150 million? That's stupid. No one's going to pay that money. I wouldn't even pay that for peak Messi, bro. That's stupid.
You would for peak Messi.
Oh, peak Messi. I thought you said pink Messi. I was like, why?
So he should stay at West Ham, is what you're saying.
I don't know. No, I think for him, he probably would want to move higher, but I don't know. I think he's being priced out because he was priced out.
He's been slating for Chelsea, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Anyway, on to a game Man City. Mark probably doesn't want to talk about, but Man City played Newcastle.
What a way to bounce back.
Listen, I'm easy. Listen.
Got to give it to them.
I've said so many weeks now, I just don't see them losing or dropping any points in the league. So I didn't watch it.
Newcastle
were
poor, though. Jesus.
Yeah.
Rolling I think over. We really should talk about capitulation against Real Madrid. Because that was wild.
That was beautiful.
That was just wild. Like, me and Mark had a bit of a debate in the group about taking off De Bruyne. Whilst I see where it was coming from, if Grealish puts away those two chances, and also it was before they scored the goal.
He didn't.
But the thing is, it was before they scored the goal that De Bruyne was taken off.
Mendy
exactly.
Saved it,
that's my point. The tie was still... well in the balance.
But it worked well out in the balance. Gundogan was his replacement and he played the ball to Bernardo. Bernardo passed it to Mahrez.
Listen,
so but the you change can't worked. Tell me it worked out it because work. They scored a goal and got knocked out.
It did work once they
it didn't work. Abdi, it didn't work.
In the end,
listen, let's over. Just you're I'll go back to the old kind of I'm gonna pretend that Arsenal are City. And you're 70 minutes into a game and you're 1-0 up and you see him pulling off Saka. Then you see him pulling off Partey. And you think, hold on, the game's not done. Why are you doing that?
No. The thing is, the reason I say that, obviously at the time, it probably would look mad. But De Bruyne wasn't having a good game. He was giving the ball away a lot, which especially now, there's a side who need to protect the lead. So you need to keep the ball more. Secondly, the change led to bringing on someone who... help them get 1-0 up. And then third point is it was a complete capitulation at the end.
It was.
Like, I think there was more factors rather than just taking off De Bruyne.
No,
obviously you want him on the pitch, that was the main factor.
But you got to think,
You want to keep him on the pitch because he's a difference maker. But still, it was a capitulation. I think just it's because they didn't manage the game properly.
It was definitely a capitulation. But you're talking about a player who needs 1 second. Mm-hmm. 1 second to produce something special, and that is exactly what City needed. They lost their heads. You're talking about big game players. KDB is one of those. I just think taking him off when the game was fully in the balance at
1-0
against Madrid, away to Madrid. I can't agree.
It was 0-0
at
the time they took him off, and then they scored. So I just feel like Man City had a lead, and they were in detriment of losing that lead because he kept on giving the ball away. So then they took him off. It brought on someone who's more secure in possession. And Gundogan is not any bum, you know. It's not like you're bringing on Pepe, for example.
Yeah,
like you're bringing
true.
On a defensive player.
Of course, he's not a bum, but
exactly. So I just feel like Man City is just that they didn't manage the game. When Rodrigo scored his first goal, that's when you have to become Atletico. You should have fouled everyone.
Yeah.
Two foot everyone, bruv. Whatever. That just go down, lie down, just. Kill the game, but then that's what it was, and then there was no marking in the box. Grealish is not tackling who put the ball in Carvajal. You know, I just felt that's from Man City's perspective. It was more of a capitulation rather than a bad decision.
Man City have just got a mental block with this challenge,
and we love it.
That's all it comes down to.
I don't care.
We
I don't
want to win. Real Madrid, one more time. Run it back one more time, please.
Anyway, so we've got a couple questions about City. So one is the obvious news that broke today. Man City have agreed a fee to sign Haaland from Borussia Dortmund. So that's Alvarez and Haaland already in. And God knows what else they're going to do.
It's scary, isn't it? Do you know what? It's scary for other teams that are trying to get to that level of City or Liverpool. I just think you can't when they're buying players like Haaland. To be honest, people are saying, oh, he might be a flop. I don't see
it.
Sky's played 88 games for Dortmund, got 83 goals.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a flop. The only thing I'd worry about from a City perspective is if he can just stay fit.
Yeah, the injuries, he's a bit of a concern, yeah. He's going to score goals for fun.
Somewhat, I think there needs to be Guardiola's head on a stick if he doesn't win the Champions League next season.
Well,
you can't keep flopping the Champions League and then you've got this a team of world-class players. How many goals is Haaland going to score De Bruyne crosses the team all the time? Don't ever cut me off ever again.
No, I'll cut you off because that led us to the next question, which you could have then continued on, which is, with Man City's new signings, can it finally give them the Champions League? Obviously, we don't know who they are going to sign, if they are to sign anyone else.
They got that Yaya Toure curse. So Pep needs to call him and say, I'm sorry.
So it's a failure, what you're saying.
No, they have to win that soon.
So you're saying it's failure.
The thing is, it's also a failure for PSG.
Yeah. Mm.
So if Mbappe stays, then they're one of those teams have to win the Champions League next year. But we've seen with the Champions League, it's not about who has the best teams, you know?
No, it's not.
Real Madrid are getting in purely on heritage. it's all heritage. And it's just like some sort of from something happens, they keep thinking about La Decima and 11 and 12 and 13. That just comes back all the time. Every single time they're about to lose, they're like, nope, we're Real Madrid.
Okay, and so we have a last question. Title race. I'll go around. Do you think it's done? I'll leave Mark out of this because he's too close to the thing. But do you think it's done?
No.
Do you think it's done?
Not yet, no. I think I don't know.
3 points is a lot, but Wolves and West Ham away is harder than what...
That's why I don't think it's done. Because I think Man City...
But Man City did well on the goal difference. So even
and
even
they've got Wolves. Man City don't do well against
and
Wolves.
And West Ham are still fighting for things. So it's like... It is.
I think at this point in the season, Man City are they're very serious about it in terms of the league.
No, I know. But just still, football is a game that you have to turn up to every single game. Like
Diaz, Stones, both out for the rest of the season. I know that's only 3 games.
Oh, really?
That's massive. Both
I did not
that's
know
what
that.
I read yesterday.
That's massive, though.
So we're still looking at Laporte and Ake.
Still.
No, there. But still.
That's a massive drop-off, from...
I could be making it up. I'm 99% sure, though. That's correct.
Mark and his misinformation.
Abdi's sweating over there. He's thinking...
I don't care now. They've got enough of a gap right now, obviously. So hopefully we can beat West Ham.
And then he comes on and says, I don't support Man City. I've never done them.
No, when it comes to Liverpool, I just want Liverpool to crash and burn it. So. Wow.
Make sure you don't crash and burn yourself. Not you in particular. I mean Arsenal.
Yeah, Arsenal, yeah.
You putting a curse on me.
The Yaya curse. It's coming.
All right.
Yeah, so Man City defender Ruben Diaz ruled out for the rest of the season with a hamstring injury. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they've got Diaz, Walker, Stones and Ake. Sort of.
Ake himself is
not 100%.
Isn't Stones injured?
Yes, all of those four.
Oh, all of those four injured?
Ooh. Even Ake, yeah. It's a question mark over him. Who knows who's going to be fit?
But. Oh, my God.
And that's one of the other reasons why they lost. They took off Walker. Well, Walker got injured, didn't it? Because he was dealing with Vinicius, all right? But.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. We got one more question before we...
We've got a lot of questions. Big up the listeners.
Yes, exactly. I hit the round of applause.
Yeah, come on. Sorry.
Cool.
You press it every week. I do not know.
Before we go into Man of the Week, last question. Championship playoffs. Luton, Middlesbrough. Is it Middlesbrough?
Huddersfield, Forest.
Yeah. What do we think?
I think Huddersfield will win, but I think I want Forest.
Yeah, I want Forest as well.
Yeah, give us Forest.
Anyone but Luton, innit? And it's not Middlesbrough, it's Sheffield United.
I really don't want Forest because we never win at their ground, but I kind of do want Forest because it's been ages since
when did last time we played Forest?
Let them come up.
In the league.
played them in the FA Cup twice and we've lost twice.
Cool. You got me, I'm sorry.
All right, man of the week. So I'll go first. Actually, I'm not prepared. I don't know. I closed everything. Why did I do that? Let me get the...
I am ready. If
go on then, Lamar.
I'm going to give it to Junior. I'm going to give it to Cucurella. Okay. Honestly, you could give it to that whole Brighton team.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if we got four Brighton players this week. But I'm going to give it to Cucurella. Yeah, big performance from him. Goal. Yeah, just.
I thought you were going to give it to the Villarreal goalkeeper, Rulli.
That was wasn't this week.
So I'll go. I'm going to go for Nketiah just because.
I've got one as well. Two goals against.
Thanks, Tanya. Two goals against Leeds.
Big up in Ketia.
Tanya?
I'm being biased. I have to give it to Ben Davies for just his colossal defensive masterclass.
You're more biased than Mark.
I don't care. Listen, it's only.
If we look back this whole season, you've picked either Tottenham players or Ronaldo.
That's actually true.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Anyway, go on, say your nomination then.
I don't know. I was going to say Nketiah, so I'll go with Rodrigo.
Rodrigo?
The Real Madrid.
Stop pressing that, man. I want to finish this podcast, man. We'll be here forever. Just, all right, cool. The last, we'll do an hour of soundboard sounds, innit? Go on, do it.
Who are you going for? Rodrigo.
Rodrigo from Madrid.
Stop touching it, man. Oh, goodness me.
Good.
Is that what you do? You just play it on your phone, innit? So, it makes me love it.
Why are you getting rattled, big man? Calm down.
In the shambles.
We'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Nah, you're... Sports Social Podcast Network.